She keeps her depot outline in that big old brain of hers, deadly by design. She's coming for your experts, a built-in death machine, destroyer for the justice team. There's no deposition she will decline. A modern-day suffragette, well-versed in death threats and occasionally nice. She's a depot queen, it's her pleasure to be mean. Dynamite with her questioning, guaranteed to make you cry. Ooh, impossible to pacify, interrogating with a smile.
Wanna try?
She loves confrontation, she'll never let the issue rest. In conversation, she'll end your life with a sentence. Disputed liability is somewhat of her specialty. She will make you sorry you were ever born. That admission you denied is going to haunt you now at trial. She's got you by the balls. She's a devil queen. It's her pleasure to be mean. Dynamite with her questioning, guaranteed to make you cry.
All right, welcome to another episode of the Justice Team Podcast. That was Depot Queen by Jenny Anglin in our office. She does not use auto-tune. Well, very good. We have a great panel here today. It's about starting your own firm called Hanging a Shingle. We'll get into that. We'll get into some of our speakers. But first, we have our new permanent bartender, Murat Abehan. Murat, tell us what you got for us.
So, full disclosure, I think there might have been a little bit of a mix-up. When I saw the title, Hang Your Own Shingle, I thought that this podcast might have been about roofing.
So there's roofies in these?
No, so I did a little research, and I obviously was going to serve the roofer's delight for the roofing podcast. So this cocktail right here is actually known as a roofer's delight.
Whoa.
Yeah, a group of roofers back in the 70s in New Jersey went to a local bar.
It's always got to be New Jersey.
Little parched during their lunch hour, asked the bartender, hey, we need a little something that's going to refresh us for the rest of the day. Bartender put this one together.
So what's
it known as the roofer's delight.
What's in this?
It is tequila, a little bit of grapefruit, club soda, lime, and a little sugar.
Mm. Simple sugar? It's also known as a Paloma, I believe.
Maybe delicious. Out here, but in New Jersey.
All right, so...
Cheers.
Cheers. Thanks for coming, everybody. Yes, so we're going to get into... This is our first, I think, all non-Simon Law Group panel, right?
Wow.
Bob? Yeah. Yeah, so we'll go around the room, introduce yourselves, tell us a little bit about your practice. We'll start with Derek.
Thanks for having me, guys. Derek Tran. Practice in downtown LA, mainly employment law. We do some PI, and we started our firm about 4 years ago this June.
Yeah, what's your firm?
Rodriguez and Tran. Thanks, Bob.
That's and a who do you practice with? Who's your partner?
She's not important today. It's all about
Priscilla Rodriguez. She will see.
Careful. did you not listen to the Depot Queen and some of those lyrics?
I know.
Better patience.
Next.
Intimidated. Hi, guys. I'm Puneet Tour. I do PI and employment. I'm a year into my new firm, and I practice here in Orange County.
And it's you.
It's just me. Yeah.
Let's see. Wait, Derek, are you wearing socks?
Low-cut socks.
Oh, no shows. No yeah. shows.
To give
nice.
The appearance of no socks.
Are they the stance no shows?
No.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
All right, Aisei?
Yes. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Aisei Mofima. I've had my practice about 4.5 years now, based downtown, and I previously did criminal defense, and now I'm doing exclusively personal injury.
Wow. And it's just you?
Just me, yes. The Mofima Law Firm.
All right. Naylene?
Hello. My name is Naylene Belyaev, and I own the Belyaev Law Group. I've been in practice for about 3 years, and my firm is a mile from my house in Seal mm-hmm. Beach, and I am living my dream.
Do you walk?
I ride my bike.
Nice.
That's better than me. I live a mile, and I commute.
It takes Uber every month.
I expense Uber every month.
I live 4 blocks from my Hermosa office. I drive every day.
So, we're going to talk all about what it's like owning your own firm, running your own firm, some of the good, some of the bad, why you did it, when you did it. But first, I want to know your stories. Why did you open your own practice? Why was the timing to do it? So anyone jump in, grab it. I won't go around the circle. Whoever wants to start it up.
Well, Brandon, I was in law school.
Okay, I'll start. So when I graduated law school, we were still in the middle of a recession, and I was applying for jobs everywhere. Wasn't getting anything in return. And then I finally got a job doing Social Security disability law. Hmm. So the area law I didn't even know existed, but I had bills piling up. So I was like, sure, I'll take it. And then I did that for about a year. I knew this isn't the type of law I wouldn't be doing. I actually left the law for a little bit, for about a year and a half, worked for a startup. One of my friends from college started this company, so he brought me on to head up the sales team. So I did that for almost 2 years, and I was like, I really have to get back into law. Mm-hmm. And I've always wanted to do criminal defense. But a lot of people weren't hiring, so I started doing some appearance work, contract work for different firms, and I was like, you know what, I just got to do this on my own. And I think I violated every rule that they say you shouldn't do when you're going out on your own. Like, I had zero savings, like, I didn't take any cases with me, so I was just, this somehow has to work. And the first few months were brutal, super rough, but, you know, things started to pick up, and then, you know, I'd say last year I transitioned exclusively into personal injury, and that's kind of where I've been, and no regrets. I'm glad.
How long did that take? I mean, what's the timeline for this?
Timeline to
start and starting your own with for the criminal.
Sure. So I did criminal probably for a good 3 years, mm-hmm. and then I actually how I got into PI is kind of interesting. So I was doing I started my own practice. I was working from home and from coffee shops like the first 6 months. And then finally, I was like, I gotta get out of the house. Like, I need something, a dedicated workspace. So I rented a small little office in downtown. And I met Christopher Montesioca. He was also had an office there. And he, super nice. He was doing criminal and personal injury at the time. And then one day I was in his office, and he's like, hey, I got this PI case coming in. Why don't you do the intake? And I was like, I don't do PI. Like, he's like, no, don't worry about it. Just take, you know, go here and ask these questions, come back and we'll talk about it. And so I did the intake and I brought it back to him and we're talking. I was like, damn, that's a really good case. And he ended up giving me that case. And then from there on, you know, I just kind of slowly started doing more and more PI. And that's kind of the genesis of how I got into personal injury. And I'm very glad I'm here.
So how long were you out of law school from the time you were out of law school till you opened up on your own?
I'd say about 4 years.
Okay.
Yeah, 3 to 4 years, yeah.
And what about everybody else, Puneet?
Well, so I had kind of a different path. I started working for a firm right away. The firm I worked for as a law student is one that I was at for another 2 years. I always knew I wanted my own practice. There was never a doubt or hesitation. It was just a matter of when. And I got to the point where I realized, you know, I kept telling myself, okay, you need more money in the bank. And you need more experience. Go get more trial experience. Like, go get as much experience as you can. And by my sixth year, I realized that I was never going to feel like I had enough experience or enough money. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm at a point in my life right now where I'm still hungry and I still have the energy and I just wanted to do it before I got comfortable. So I made myself really uncomfortable. My friends say I like chaos, so I create it.
Everybody has that year where you're just eating ramen noodles and tuna,
yeah,
right?
I'm
right?
Not
I mean,
here.
Wait, that year hasn't ended.
4 years.
What do you mean? Yeah. You guys stopped?
Yes.
And Derek, you're a little different. You're not on your own, but it's a small practice, right?
It is. Yeah, it's me and my partner. We have an associate and a couple of support staff. They're all amazing. Couldn't do what I do without them. But I think out of law school, it took me about a year to realize, like, I can't be working for someone. Mm-hmm. I worked for a very good employment lawyer, rhymes with Barney Bersharian. And just kidding. Carney's great. He's a mentor.
It doesn't really narrow it down.
So working for him, really, I was like, can't do this. I got to go out on my own. So that's what happened.
Wow. Naylene?
So I started out at my dream job. I was working at Girardi Keith's, and I was there for 8 years, and it was incredible. And I was able to try cases and to have my own caseload and to learn from the masters. And then I just kept having kids and two little boys in, I started to think, God, I'd really like to put them to bed at night and, you know, maybe not sit on the freeway for 3 hours a day. So that's when it kind of was like, okay, well, now's the time. And it was so scary, but my gosh, it was the best choice I've made professionally.
And whatever, I mean, I had the same, Puneet, I had a similar path. Mm-hmm. 2 years as a law clerk at a firm, Letter and Ojima, love those guys. And 3 years as a lawyer till I felt like I had at least enough stashed away. I started to learn how to bring in cases and stuff. And then convinced Brandon, who just graduated from college, to move out from Washington, D.C. We rented a small office with a copier we shared together and grew it from there. But, yeah, I mean, so I want to know, like, I had to get the seed money because my dad was a truck driver with five kids. So how did you guys, how were you able to have that financial security? Or what was going through your mind? Like, Asa, when you started, you, I mean, you came from a startup to start your own firm.
Yeah, I mean, I really had nothing. I had zero savings. Like, wow. I mean, it was just one of those things where I was like, I have to be all in and this has to work. And, you know, the first few months, I'm doing appearance work, you know, not getting paid a lot of money, but I'm gaining experience. I'm building relationships. And I just kind of trusted that, hey, keep putting the work in. At some point, you know, things are going to turn around. I started building online profiles, getting client reviews, and I started getting calls and just kind of built from there. But, it was really tough. It was really tough in the beginning. I don't necessarily recommend going on your own without having savings or having seed money. But I do think it's important that you're 100% committed. Like, if this is something you're going to do, like, you have to be all in. It's not something that you just kind of, let's see if this works, or maybe I'll test this out for a little bit.
So when you started, were you able to, did you have seed money when you started, or was it just from appearances that you were able to keep your thing running?
It was just from appearances. Wow. Yeah. Just from appearances, doing contract work, you know, for small firms in town, but yeah, it was really tight in the beginning. So,
So for the financial, did anybody have their own seed money or have like a bank that helped them? Anybody take out loans? Derek, how'd you guys do it?
I had seed money in the form of Capital One credit card.
With your college logo?
Yeah. Dude, seriously, it was some hard times. I'm thinking back, like, I don't even know how we made it. There were months where I thought we were going to have to just close the door, but it always worked out. It was awesome. But one of the things we also did was we took on family law cases just to bring in that income, and we were able to bill. So we were having some type of income come in, but the rest of the time it's all credit, and here we are today, credit free. So we're good.
Yeah. So I thought I had enough to last me for like 6 months. And you know, I did these interviews. So like before I really started, I probably met with, you know, 2 dozen people where I was like, okay, how much money do I need? And about half of them said, you don't have enough. So, wow. So I was like, okay, well, you know, money will come in. You just like have to have faith. That money went way quick. I mean, part of it was I didn't realize how much I spend just to live and survive. But along the way, money kept coming in as I was spending it. So I'm still in the, you know, I'm still in the midst of it, but so far everything's kind of worked out. So no complaints. Every time I get nervous, I call Derek and he calms me down a little bit. But yeah, I didn't take out a line of credit. I haven't taken out credit. I have Indian parents. So like my dad was like, no way, you know, but, yeah. So I'm just kind of seeing how it goes, and I'm leaving that as an option if I need it. But so far I'm paying my bills month to month and waiting for money to come in. So
I blew through savings. I had about a year's salary saved at the time that I went off on my own, and I don't have a dollar to show for it. I mean, I made money. It all worked out. It was wonderful, but God, that was a scary year.
Did Absolutely. Any of you have to make a tough decision of, I'm going to put buying a house or starting a family, put it on hold until I do this? Was that, did anyone have that sort of experience?
I had that experience where it was like, okay, well, this is money for a down payment for a house. Do I want to stay at my firm or do I want to take the chance? And for me, it didn't make sense to not take the chance right now, because I knew I'd regret it if I didn't. So
is there ever, do you think, a right time? Do you ever feel comfortable like, okay, this is it, now I should do it? Or just anyone out there listening that's thinking about jumping ship, or what,
Well, so I'm a little biased in this sense. Like, I graduated during the height of the recession for the legal field, right? And so a lot of people that I went to school with started right off on their own practices, out the door, no experience, no training. I can't imagine being in depots now or taking depots and like not having that experience on somebody else's dime. But I think I would have gotten a lot more efficient at the business aspect if I had just started out, right? Because now I understand more of the legal work, but it's a steep learning curve on the business side to like run a firm like a business.
It's very hard to find a mentor to show you. This is how you run the business side.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
Bob has a twin.
I have a twin.
But I do think that it's like kind of like a gut feeling. I mean, if it's something that consumes you every day and you're miserable and you just keep thinking about it, I think there's signs there like, okay, you know what? This is something I really need to look closely at. And I think it's going to be different for everyone, but I think the consensus here is zero regrets. Once you've made that decision and you're all in, like it's to me, it's the best decision I've made so far professionally.
Yeah. Is there anything that you think that you miss? Like what are the things like the drawbacks?
Paycheck.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I miss like being able to like go to a colleague's office and bounce ideas off of them.
Just walking down the hall.
Like the collaboration, just joking around, you know, easing tension. Just it's very lonely. but yeah, I think that's probably the biggest thing I miss. Just the collaboration, you know, bouncing ideas off of your coworkers, kind of getting an idea, helping them, you know, that's something that I really, really miss.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, even for me, like I coming to an office where we film at in Santa Ana, it's much bigger than like our Hermosa Beach office. We maybe have 20 there, but there's some 40 people here. When I walk in, it's really cool because you can walk office to office and just spitball cases and ideas. And even now, I'm 10 years in. No, well, 13 years in practice.
Right?
Yeah. 2005. What is this? 2014. 14 years in. I learn new stuff every day. Mm-hmm. You know, stuff that new little nuanced stuff. We have people that were on the defense side. And they talk about the coverage issues and this is how you leverage stuff. And I was like, whoa, you know, it's not ever like I used to have to call Gary Dordick and be like, bro, and he's like, I'm going to try. I'll call you back and whatever. But now it's just something different. But yeah, that's how when I went out of mine, it was the same thing. It was a small office suite and it was me and Brandon and, no other real help, you know, so.
Yeah. We're going to do something. We usually do it a little deeper into the podcast, but I think it'll be good because it'll jettison into some other stuff. So we're going to play the feud a little bit.
All right. Let's do it.
So if you've watched any of our other podcasts, we like to play the family feud. So we're going to have two teams. We got, I don't know if you guys want to name yourselves. We got team to my left, team to my right.
Should we come up with a name?
Team Swagger.
Ooh, team Swagger over here.
Okay, I'm going to pay homage to Dave Chappelle. Hopefully we can... We'll go game blouses.
Game blouses.
Advantage blouses.
So before Bob got too deep into talking about the things you miss, I want to know the top, I think I have, let's see, five, six. I have six. The top six answers on the board, the five worst things.
Living room.
That's never a callback joke. Murat's going to say it every time until the answer is living room. He's been waiting for the opportunity.
One of these podcasts, it will be the
answer. It will never happen.
Where's the best place to set up a home office?
Living room.
So, top six answers on the board. Top six worst things about being on your own. We'll start with Team Swagger.
Yeah, I think poor is
poor. So yeah, we'll give that number three. Said funding cases. Okay. Yeah, the lack of resources. And I mean, how did you guys do it? You said you didn't. You open up a credit line. I mean, Bob, how did you do it?
I did one of two things. I had a company that was able to fund some of our cases, which we had to use. I had seed money. I won a game show. It was pretty cool.
It's on YouTube if you want to find it. Are you smarter than a fifth grader?
And then I partnered with other law firms to advance our cases. I did that a lot for the first 5 years of our practice because the number one expense at our firm, we have 24, 25 lawyers, quells in comparison to the amount we pay in just expert costs and litigation costs. Yeah. I mean, it's insane, but that's it.
Yeah.
Is that something you guys do? Partner up with other firms if you get a case and you
friends
can.
Well, so I'm still in the beginning of my practice, so I've actually had people reach out to me to work on their cases.
Cool.
And then we split the fees that way. But yeah, that's my plan is, you know, my plan is, because I'm looking at cases where it's like, okay, well, I can't afford this. I know I can't afford the expert fees. And I'd rather have better experts on the case, mm-hmm. which... You know,
ethically, you know, you're obligated to do that.
Yeah.
For your clients. So.
Yeah. But, you know, sometimes the lien people aren't the best people for the case. So,
never.
You know, I think it's a better idea to partner with people you trust because also you learn that way. Mm-hmm. You learn a lot. And I don't care who it is. I'm sure there's a lot I can
learn. And for our listeners, I think everybody in this room works on a contingency fee.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. We don't get paid per hour, get paid perhaps. And actually, Brian Payne said that. He said it during the Michael Jackson chow. Phenomenal quote.
Yeah,
phenomenal
that
quote. Why don't get paid per the hour like this guy? Get paid perhaps.
That's not bad.
It's good.
It's pretty good.
It's good. So, I forget what I was saying. You guys got me into the interaction.
Contingency.
Contingency.
The cool thing about our practice is we can, like at our firm, we fee split, right? Mm-hmm. You can ethically fee split. So you can work with your friends, give them, hey, I'll give you 5% of the fee to do X, Y, Z, to take depositions or do those types of things. Or do you guys do that with your friends, bring them in and do a fee split?
Absolutely. Yeah. I do it with your firm.
Yeah. And we do it with you.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
I haven't done it with friends. I mean, I guess I consider my mentors friends. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they consider me friends, but you know, yeah, I haven't done it with like colleagues at my level yet, but I'd be open to that. That sounds fun.
I mean, like we don't do employment here, so I'd be like, hey, you know, Derek, you want to come in? You want to do some stuff with us? That type of thing. So
Derek
different
does.
Practice groups.
Derek's ready.
Yeah, I'm always ready.
All your we were just speaking in hypotheticals.
He has the right socks and everything.
This attorney at my firm with a beard has been harassing me.
Good luck finding who it is.
I didn't get a good look.
So
but it tickled.
Playing Family Feud. Family Feud rules. So technically, team
smell like whiskey.
Team blouses can again. You don't really work narrowing it down. Can get the one or two, first or second answer on the board to steal. Top worst things about being on your own.
Loneliness.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll say loneliness.
Yeah. Cool. Number one answer.
All right.
Awesome.
I said being on an island. You know, not being able to collaborate. We touched on it. I mean, SA, you said you worked in a coffee shop before you had an office, right?
Yep.
I mean,
what are you? What, like coffee bean? Are you coffee?
No. It was.
Are you Pete's?
It was a mom and pop shop. It was a mom and pop shop out in Culver City, and that's part of why I had to get out of the house, just to be around people, even though they weren't other lawyers. But you just need that energy. You want to see people working. It's kind of contagious. You know, you feed off of that. So that was part of why I did it. Then finally, I was like, okay, I need like a dedicated space. But
so when you. I mean, did you sublease from like Chris or rent off a space? How did you get?
No, it was from like Premier Business Center, so like a large like type of co-work. I guess it's a co-working space,
like a WeWork type deal.
Type of WeWork, yeah, but different businesses basically rent small offices, and you have like a shared receptionist type of thing.
So, I mean, is that something that you liked, disliked, or like?
Oh, I liked it. At the time, I was living in Marina, Dorale, and the office is downtown, so I was spending a lot of time in traffic, but. No, it was good just being around. I mean, that's how I met. Like, I literally from doing that, I met Chris and got into PI. Who know, you know. Wow. So it's like,
I mean, are there a lot of lawyers in the WeWork thing, or is it just other?
It for that particular office, there were probably half a dozen lawyers and just random business. You know, there were investors, some startups, just different types of businesses. But yeah, actually, it was great because I met lawyers that I still keep in touch with today. You know, and obviously Chris, you know, him and I. You know, just tried a case together last October. So, you know, that's it's been invaluable, cool. That experience. Yeah.
All right. So you guys getting pass or play?
Yeah.
Ooh. You got the number one.
How are you guys feeling over there?
Feeling good.
Feeling good?
Yeah.
What do you think? I'll defer to you. Pass or play?
Let's play.
You Wait, are so always I, play.
We
always
Derek, play. You're wearing a 3-piece suit for our listeners that are watching on YouTube.
Yes.
But you're not wearing socks. Is that by design? Does it aerate you? Because I get hot in 3-PCOs. Yeah.
You know, that's my style. I just
like
don't
it.
Wear socks. In
that's
general.
Why we're team swagger, by
wow.
the way.
Wow.
Ventilation comes at the ankles. It's a fact. Scientific, medical fact. That's where our body ventilates, at the ankle.
I don't know if he's being serious.
It's in a journal. A journal.
Whose journal?
It's in a journal, okay?
All right. Top six answers, though. We have four left.
No benefits. No
guaranteed paycheck.
Yeah.
Number two.
Ooh. Oh. Yeah.
Hey, we're on fire.
Oh, yeah.
We've
lack
done this.
Steady paycheck.
That's what Team Swagger gets for saying something out loud a little while ago.
Shit.
What
up, lad?
All right, keep it moving.
All right.
Okay.
What else? Toughest parts.
I don't think they heard me. I hope they did.
No, I didn't. Say it again.
It's like, I don't know how, like, bouncing ideas, like the collaboration.
That was part of them.
Oh, is that? Okay.
Don't let them answer that way if they want.
I was saying that was answer one, right? That was our.
You're like the Ray Combs of hosts for Family Feud.
Get out of here.
He's wrong.
I've been called Louis Anderson.
Yeah, no.
Oh, man.
Underrated.
We don't have an answer?
No.
Oh, we don't have an answer?
I've got nothing.
All right.
Switch it over for the steal.
Yeah, can you steal?
We're going to go with staff, not having people.
Number, yeah. Next,
what,
number
three. Buzz me. Are you confusing
me? We just buzz them preemptively.
Oh. Administrative tasks.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay.
Talk about, you know, how you guys deal with scanning the mail and how big of a pain in the ass is that?
That was, I hated.
What?
We spent half our day scanning the friggin' mail, put it into our system. Yeah.
That was probably the best decision that I made with Griselda was when we hired our first legal secretary. So we didn't have to do that BS anymore.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so important. You get so much time back.
No, it's awful. It's very tedious. It's very time consuming, but you can't ignore it. You need to check your mail. You need to upload it into your computer. I think it's probably the least favorite part of running my project.
Yeah, and there's what we started doing. We have people that are just dedicated for SCIG. We get so much here. You mentioned the volume, but there's way to OCR data or it's amazing because you can highlight stuff and it takes a little extra time, and then they can e-storage it for you too. But
It's worth the $12.99 that I pay for Adobe to do that.
I got some cheat codes for you.
Okay, good.
On the Nintendo magazine.
Yeah.
Sorry. Ace, you said you're on a floor suite sort of deal now.
Yeah, so I'm on a floor suite, and then I also converted one of my bedrooms into a home office. So I work from home from time to time. Then I go to there when I just need to see people and.
It's like, what do you? I mean, are you guys all on that sort of deal? You get a floor suite.
Well, I don't have a floor suite. I just have my office space that I rent from another firm.
Right, but do you have a secretary that you share?
I'm doing it all on my own right now. Oh, okay. I did have somebody come in to scan documents because that was driving me crazy. Yeah. And that didn't, work out. Everything got scanned to the wrong folder. So my practice now is I work my normal job, 9 to 5 is legal work. And then after hours and weekends is, grinding and all the office admin stuff. So I'm still looking if anybody knows anybody can scan mail for me.
How much are you paying?
Yeah, that is the issue.
Yeah, he said he loves it. All right. I think we have two more left. Two more answers.
Let's go, Hot Shots, go.
Okay. So what was our next one? Oh, yeah. So I don't know. Lack of benefits, health insurance, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that was kind of included with not a paycheck.
Okay. Well, I don't know if this is going to be on there. Let me confer for a second.
Ooh, I see these ones. Our listeners are smart. They got some good ones on there. That one I hated, Brandon, number four.
Nobody
likes that.
I think one of the issues that's been really, unnerving for me is if I leave the country, which I love to do, I love to travel, I don't have paid vacation time anymore. So not only am I spending money, but I'm losing money when I'm not working.
That's a good answer, but I didn't put it on there.
Oh, boo.
Yeah, but it should be. It should
it
be.
Should be. It should on be. Can
so
I get
yeah,
a point
keep going.
For that?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, keep going.
Wait, are you guys? I'm pretty sure that was a wrong answer, right?
I gave it to you.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay.
It was a good answer.
We're a little competitive.
I have nothing.
We talked about camaraderie. I mean, not being able to spend what you want to on your cases, right?
We had that funding cases. Oh. So I'll just give them to you. Discovery and motion writing. How do you? How much of time does that take up for you guys?
Meet and confer.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's awful.
I'll trade scanning mail for doing that. Honestly, I really will.
Really?
Yeah, I don't mind discovery. Because it's you're learning the case while you're doing it.
You do learn the case.
I did used to like it,
See? Yeah.
I'd write some funny. So the best discovery answer I think I've ever saw, I work with Ben Swanson a lot. I love him. We've tried half a dozen cases together. We're trying a wrongful death case, and I was looking at the discovery answers, and they said they had asked, list the decedent's address, and he just wrote heaven.
Because
It's just boilerplate, you know.
It's pretty good.
Amazing. Like, I didn't look at it till we were in trial, and I was like, dude, that's
so pretty good.
Have any of you outsourced motion work or discovery work?
I outsource discovery work and templates and, like, as much as I can, because I don't want to waste my time doing stuff that somebody
else... do you outsource it?
So there's, I have a couple of paralegals who work for me just on an hourly basis, and they're happy to, you know, prepare discovery templates and that sort of thing, which is nice.
And then, but do you actually do input the answers?
So then, so sometimes it depends on how busy I am. Sometimes I'll forward them all of the client's responses, and then they'll follow up with the client to fill in the gaps. Other times I'll do it once I have the templates or, you know, the shells drafted. Depends on how busy I am or how much I actually need to learn the case.
And how about the, I used to, even when I started my firm, I outsourced the motion running. I just hated it. I was good at it. I hated putting it together, like just the footnotes and stuff. But our brother Brad loved it. So he was working at another firm, and I would just literally, Brad, I'll pay you like $500, man. Can you just like, and he would do it. It'd be nice.
You didn't know the going rate, huh?
I don't know.
Yeah, Brad ripped him off for a while.
It never occurred to me to do that.
Man.
The last one I have on here, which is kind of why I gave it to you, not, you know, leaving the country, lack of just manpower. Just not having, especially if you get a case that's a great case and you're up against Lewis Brisbois or Tyson Mendez. How do you, as a solo, I mean, how do you keep up with that? We have cases against those big guys, and we have a juggernaut of a firm.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of work.
Yep.
So, I mean, how do you guys...
You just survive and you call in favors from friends. And some of the advice that I got on one of those cases is have everything ready to go before you file. So have all your subpoenas ready, have all your discovery ready, so that when you file, like, you at least get a head start in that sense. I don't know what the answer to that is. And if anybody
wants... I have the answer.
Okay. Yeah.
So in those types of situations, that's when you call a friend who has a bigger firm. Like, that's when I shoot Brad an email and say, hey, you guys interested in partnering up in this case? And then they can help with the manpower if that's what you need help with, or they can help with the experts if that's what you need help with. But if you already know that a case is going to be a little bit too much for you and your firm, and it's just going to put you in a bad position, then you would be doing your client a disservice by not calling another firm who might be able to help you out.
Yeah. And I've been buried in discovery with 8 defendants when I was at larger firms and we did have the manpower.
Yeah.
So
to be on your own could be lethal.
Yeah, absolutely.
What else
do we miss, guys?
That's it. I mean, we got them all.
All right, Derek, we did good.
Those are the...
So we're the winners, right? Just to clarify.
Everybody's over. We're the participation. So we talked about the worst things about being on your own. Why do you guys like being on your own? Why did you want to be on your own?
For me, it has to be being your own boss. I love not answering to anyone. Hopefully Griselda doesn't listen
I think Gris would say something.
But yeah, absolutely. Take the time, as much time off as I want, do what I want, and answer to myself, essentially.
And when you're working your hours for you, doing your thing.
Oh, I don't even work anymore, Bob. That's a great thing. No,
this guy. I hate being told what to do. I did ever since I played sports. My Yelp, my coach is back. My dad was always our coach. God, we used to get in fights. He still tells me what to do, and he's sitting in my office. No, but like, it's funny, my wife like wants to do like workouts and stuff together, and that's what she does for a living, as her skincare brand and her own like social media influencing. And I'll actually watch her workout videos, and I'll let her tell me what to do on the workout video. But if she dare tell me in person, oh come on, I get all mad. Watch your form. You watch your form. I thought Murat was going to make a joke. He perked up over there like he had something good.
I wasn't going to touch that one. That was his joke.
I think, you know, following what Derek said, being your own boss and just the flexibility. Like, to me, being able to create my own schedule and like yesterday, I think I was at a seminar and I saw you there, and it was like, a lot of times if you're working for someone else, you can't do that, you know, in the middle of the day and go to events and things like that. So I enjoy that flexibility like a lot.
Yeah, we record these we do these on Fridays during business hours,
right?
So you guys didn't have to go ask your boss if you could leave, you know. You might have, Derek. I don't know.
Please.
He's so bold when she's not around. But.
She's going to listen.
I really like that my wins are mine, right? Like, I don't have to tamp down, you know, what I did, or, you know, every win is mine, and, you know, every loss then I guess is mine too, but I'm willing to eat it. So.
And how good are you, and Aileen, I'll ask you this, how good are you at, like, delegating the tasks or losing a little bit?
Terrible.
Yeah.
Awful. It's hard. Yeah, I don't trust people.
I have a paralegal. I don't have anybody else working on it because I cannot. I can't. No one touches my stuff.
No, which is why, like, I would never outsource emotion. I mean, even outsourcing discovery is tough for me because I really want to know that the periods are exactly where they belong. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
It's like Step Brothers. You touch my drum set? I know you touch my drumstick.
Yeah, I'm the opposite. I'm just like, I used to be that way. Yeah. And
Bob sends an email delegating 500 tasks and it's very detailed and it's like, you do this, you do that, you do that. Yeah, he's very good at it. But you have to. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the things that you just, why did you guys want to go out on your own so badly? Like, it seems like all of you always had that in the back of your mind. Why, other than obviously being your own boss, was there any?
Well, are you guys all looking at me?
I don't know, because you're my teammate.
You're the elder statesman here. So, yeah.
I mean, I think if you bring in your own, a plaintiff side is different, right? If you bring in your own business and if you think you can and you work up your own cases, it just doesn't make sense not to at some point. If that's something you want, right? Some people don't want the stress and they want a lot of structure. But if you're somebody who kind of thrives off the high of the chaos, then yeah. I couldn't
you're
imagine.
Doing, I mean, you're doing it with risk, right? You're putting in your time,
lot of
your
risk.
Money.
Yeah. But, you know, and that's when you have, I'm really fortunate that I don't, you know, I can lose everything essentially. And I, you know, I don't have kids. I don't have anything to worry about in that sense. And it's just me to take care of. So I imagine if I was in a different position, I'd feel differently, you know? But
I feel it. I mean, we just had, I mean, on another podcast, an individual that has 11 children.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking.
I wonder who that could be. Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine?
Trial attorney had 11 children. Who could that be?
Yeah. One of the best of her lifetime. Who could it be? But I mean, I can't even imagine. Like when I think when he started his firm, like when he started being a solo before he joined, he already had like 5 or 6 kids.
Yeah.
Right now. Can you imagine
you just had me to take care of.
We would eat Subways and
every day. With Tyler Barnett. We'd eat it.
Every day. Sun chips, Subway. We'd split
every day.
A 12
we'd, have a, we'd go to the gym healthy. And then we'd have a protein shake at Jamba Juice. And then we'd go to Subway for lunch. And that was it.
That is the good life.
That's simple, Marat's right? Like, man, what
boy,
am I doing
boy,
wrong?
Jamba Juice and Subway.
Do you know why we had so many fantasy baseball trades that year between the two of us?
Yep. Jamba Juice and Subway.
Just yeah. Fantasy baseball hour, Subway. Yeah.
But I did actually work for another trial attorney who I think has 11 kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jerry Agnew. Oh, yeah. It's either 8 or 11. I can't remember, but. Yeah.
Did any of you work defense or work for a big firm? I mean, you worked for Girardi.
I did.
I mean, they're a relatively big firm.
They're pretty big. But all plaintiffs work, though.
Would you recommend somebody that's looking to go solo be in a big environment like that? You mentioned it, you know, to get experience on somebody else's dime. Would you recommend you do that? Like I say, it sounds like you were pretty much almost on your own the whole time, right?
Yeah, more or less. I mean, for me, I knew that I, like, from early on, I knew, like, I want to be a trial lawyer. I want trials. And from my friends that were in big firms, they never sniffed the courtroom, like, ever. Mm-hmm. You know, they'd work up the case, and when it came time to try the case, you know, they hand it off. Mm-hmm. And that was something that didn't sit well with me because I wanted to be in the court. So even with criminal defense, that allowed me to be in court very regularly. And then now that I'm doing PI, same thing. You know, I want to get more trials under my belt, but I think if I was working for a firm, I mean, maybe outside of here, you guys obviously are trying tons of cases and a lot of your associates are doing that. But a lot of firms, you know, just a few lawyers in that firm try the cases.
So the role, if you had to pick your role, if you were in a firm, like Girardi size firm, if you had to pick your role, would you want to be the trial lawyer of that
yes,
firm?
Yes. If it was up to me in an ideal world, all I do is try cases.
How about you, Neely?
Yeah, I think that'd be awesome. Yeah, same.
Derek?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to answer that because I haven't tried any cases, but I would like to. I've been doing like the business end of like running a practice, and it's crazy. It takes up all your time.
You know, I take that back. I think I'd want to be half and half.
it's a whole nother animal. I mean, the things that he does. And I mean, before we started, Derek was doing payroll. I was telling Brad, hated payroll for years.
We got Marat hired just so Brad could stop doing that.
He's our CFO.
He does other things too. He makes a good cocktail.
Yeah. Bartender / CFO.
/ the shingle hanger.
/ roofer.
Yeah, but you know, I think that I worked at a plaintiff's firm that was 40 plus attorneys when I first started. I was there for probably 2.5 years. And that was an experience. I got to see what a firm ran like when you put a lot of money into it, right? So we had like great offices, spent a lot on software. We didn't really try cases. A lot of our cases settled. We didn't have to, right? So I think I got the best experience from working for a smaller firm in comparison, which was Agnew Brezovich, working for people like, Bruce Brezovich, who's
great guy.
You know, just catching the way he thought about things was completely different. And I remember when I started, you know, I had my like 13-page meet and confer, and I had all my discovery, and he like threw it back at me, and he's like, "What do you want? What are you asking for?" And it's like, "Well, I just want to make sure that there's nothing that I don't have." And it, you know, they just had a totally different mentality about it. And I feel like I learned more there in my 2.5 years than I did at the bigger firm where, you know, I was doing research on mass tort cases for a while and stuff like that.
Okay. So one thing I wanted to talk about that Asa, you touched on, you were in a coffee shop when you started, right? You didn't have an office.
Correct.
And I think in our industry, it's important to be able to collaborate. I mean, you go on, I'm sure all you guys are members of CALA and you're on the listserv and how important that is as a learning tool. I mean, how did you back then and how do you now, still as a solo or small business, how do you collaborate with people? Because, you know, you are on your own, you're a solo. You can tighten that mic somehow.
Oh, sorry. Okay, cool.
So thanks. It doesn't fall.
Yeah, story of my life, just always ruining things, but I've been in therapy for years.
He did say it in that voice.
Wait. Sorry.
Yeah, it's like a twist.
If you're watching online, he's weeping.
Thank you. No, it was really important. I mean, like, to be honest with you, that's what really triggered me into getting my own office was just because I need to be around people. And so when I was there, I was able to collaborate with other attorneys there. To this day, I still pick up the phone and call other attorneys. I'll work, have cases with Derek, cases with Chris, cases with a number of my friends. And CALA's great. The listservs are great. I also go to conferences. I go to a lot of conferences. Instead of going on vacation, basically, I use that money and go to conferences.
It is a vacation.
Yes, you're right. That's true. And so I try to use, you know, those types of things to like be able to develop. I mean, we're in the relationship and reputation business, right? So all about relationships, meeting people and developing rapport. Then, you know, something comes up, you have a question, you know, I can hit up Bob or anyone else. And, you know, they're always available for me to.
What about everyone else? I mean, do any of you have, you know, a group that you, I know some of you are friends here, but I mean, do you have a regular coffee, you know, you guys get coffee together, talk about issues.
Great point. I think one of the things that Ace failed to mention was we have this group of friends that we rely on for focus groups, and we bounce ideas off each other. And when they're about to go to trial, I say they because I don't try anything, we get together and we just do our case and we take notes from each other and learn from each other.
So where do you convene to do these things?
It's been all over the place. It's been at my office and my conference room. There's about 8 or 10 of us that shows up. It's been at ACA's apartment sometimes.
I mean, I think we should do more of that.
Well, why don't you, I mean, do you ever think about just getting together in one big space to do it together? Why not just rent a big space and be able to do that all the time?
That's a good point.
I mean, essentially, that's what we do here, but yeah. It's just...
Then I would have to see Ace every day, so that's...
Yeah. He's good looking, though. And he's single, ladies and
gentlemen. Oh! And he dresses well.
Can we cue the dating show music? You know that
dater number one.
Yeah, that's how Tom Selleck got started, right? He got Magnum PI from a dating show.
Is that right? Yeah.
I thought you were going to say so. He got started on a podcast.
In the 70s?
I don't know.
Do you know what pod actually stands for?
I don't.
I heard this today.
So did I.
Did we hear it at the same place?
I think we might have heard
we
it.
Did. We did.
We probably did.
We
I know.
We were researching.
We were researching. That's all I know.
Is it a fantasy baseball podcast?
Yeah, Marat, okay.
I'll be honest. The Play on demand.
Yes.
Yeah.
Play
on demand.
Okay.
Wow. What does CAST stand for?
Play on demand. The CAST assignment.
Okay.
Yeah, but we also we have chat rooms that we do per each case and per the firm, just to get the real time. Like, we have a trial going on right now, and they're on breaks, or just getting immediate feedback and stuff like that within our own microcosm. But do you guys do that with your friends too? Either on it, like I'm on a mass text with some of the older trial guard too, where we shoot ideas back.
Yeah, like
and
I
forth.
Had a group of friends when I lived in San Diego that we still, because San Diego's a different, just their own little community, so we talk about stuff in there. Do you guys have anything?
Did
like
you
that?
Use like text, WhatsApp, Slack,
email?
Like we used to, like Derek and I we're on a group text chain and email. It's usually more like when one of us is gearing up for trial, like then, you know, we're spitting, or actually just in general, right? Some questions come up, we usually send it out there. But no, I like that. I think it's great just to kind of have a working.
Yeah, I take every opportunity. So while we were downstairs waiting, I gave them all my problems. I'm like, guys, how do I fix this? And, you know, as I'm talking about it, I'm like, oh, that's what I do, obviously.
Well, like, how many of you here have, when you have your social circles, how much of your social circle are your companions, your colleagues, cohorts, your colleagues?
Yeah, all my friends are lawyers.
All of them, right?
Yeah.
It's crazy how that's kind of like taken over like your social circle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Majority of people I hang out with now are, unfortunately, is Derek.
Imagine
Derek.
If you practice with your family. And you employ your mom and your dad as well.
That's so I'm trying to carve the turkey at Thanksgiving. You know, we're opening gifts at Christmas, and Brandon's asked me what's a motion limit he has to write. That's actually a true story. That's what happens and goes down.
But that must be fun too. Everybody's amazing. Like invested.
Yeah,
and,
So if the ship goes down, we're all going. A rising tide raises all ships. A sinking tide drowns everybody.
Drowns them all.
You know, I do wish I had a partner, because I do think it's really fun to like be invested with somebody and bounce ideas off of them and things like that.
So how did you meet? How did you link up with your partner?
Ooh, I want to know this story. Yeah, I don't know this one.
So Griselda and I went to law school together. And then she pulled me into Carney's office when I got done with law school because she was working there. And it's been history since.
Yeah. I was really hoping for a Tinder story.
No, that's Grindr was me and Ace.
Do not get involved.
I'm kidding.
I think my only non-lawyer friends are like Teresa Murat, right? I mean...
And they're technically kind of part
in the business. Yeah.
In the business.
I know lawyer things. I watch My Cousin Vinny.
So, but I could ask you, if you, instead of having a partner, I mean, you have the opportunity to have a partner in everything. If you have another case you work on, you could always bounce ideas off.
Oh,
Maylene,
yeah. You can partner
like
on cases. Yeah, absolutely.
But how often do you use that as your partner? Like, the reason I have my partner is Brad does things that I just don't have the vision to do.
We all, like, but we all have things that the other person doesn't like to do. Like, I don't really love being in the courtroom. You love it. Mm-hmm. I love writing. You guys don't.
I hate it. Yeah.
Brad loves doing administrative stuff, which I don't know how anyone likes doing that.
Yeah, it sounds like it all works out.
Yeah.
But I think the problem and the benefit of that is when you have a really good case, anybody will jump on board, right?
Yeah.
But who's going to go through the maybes with you? And who's going to go through the, I don't know if this is going to pan out or not. Who's going to go through the,
I'm right here, Puneet.
As long as it's six figures case,
Exactly.
And you're willing to split fees 50-50.
Yeah, I think that's the problem when you're starting out.
Right? I wanted to ask, Naylene, I'll start with you. What are some of the mistakes that you made early on when you went on your own, that anyone listening right now that's getting ready to start their own practice, that you would tell them, hey, don't do this, or do it and figure it out on your own and see how bad it is?
So when I started out, you know, I had a mortgage and two kids, so I had to be making money. It wasn't an option not to make money. So someone sent me a defense case, and it was a dog bite defense case, and it was on the eve of trial, and everything in me said, I cannot take this. And I took it. And I've never billed before. I've never dealt with a retainer where they actually send you money and they need to do that. And I ended up doing a ton of work on this case and not being able to pull out and never got paid for it. And this person to this day still owes me a ton of money. And it's not a lot now, but back then it was like, you know, me getting through a whole month.
Kept the lights on.
Yeah. So my big advice is just don't take something out of your wheelhouse.
Don't do defense work, right?
Don't do defense work.
Never.
It's not worth it.
No, we know. I mean, friends
did you, when you, after you did that, it, if you it, and you went to church, did the holy water burn when you put your I always wondered because I'm a pure blood. I never did defense work.
That's if you see crosses, do they just burn like in your skin like a vampire? Yeah. Asay, what would you say is biggest mistake that you made early on?
So many. I mean, like, so I was going out and networking a lot just to kind of drum up business. But looking back now, I was like networking with other criminal defense lawyers, which is kind of counterintuitive. So I would say get not even just going to lawyer events, get all industries and specifically networking with, you know, people that don't do what you do as far as if you're trying to get business. So I'd say and you just really got to get out there. I mean, you got to. I could have been more aggressive, I think, in letting people know that I was out on my own and you know, announcements and emails and former classmates. I think that's an area I could have been a little bit more aggressive.
And I think you never want people to say friends, family, or whoever you meet, say, oh, that's what you do?
Right, yeah. Right.
Never. They should always know what you do, exactly. Be the first person they call. Like growing up, the only lawyer I knew was a lawyer on TV.
Yeah.
Right?
Edgar
right?
Schneider.
Edgar Schneider, right?
Shout out to Edgar Schneider.
Yeah, boy.
No fee unless we get money for you.
See, still remembers. Yeah. I still remember the call. The number. Yeah. But yeah, but
Bob said, I want to be the Edgar Schneider of LA. That
that's was his, right. Yeah. But they had Jacob and Romney already.
Yeah.
King of LA. No, but I think one of the mistakes that I had is whenever I was bringing in other firms to work on the cases with us and partner up, I was worried too much about what my bottom line would have been rather than what the benefit for the client was. Mm-hmm. So I'd be too worried about the fee split and what I was going to get and would detract some other people I'd work with. And I think that was a big mistake. And I see it now is people are just like, I don't want to give you or your firm X amount or whatever. And I'm just like, well, think about what you're doing for your client. At the end, you'll probably end up making money so more and so will the client. And I think about that all the time. And that's why we're usually more generous than other firms with the fee splits and things, the ways that we do it, the way we incorporate things. Because I remember what it was like, you know, and I think if just don't think about your bottom line. If you always do what's ethically right for your client, I swear to God, you'll do well.
The rest will take care of itself.
It will.
Yeah. I think, you know, I told you I did my interviews when I started, like, you know, and I think one of the things I learned is that nobody does it the same way. Right. Mm-hmm. So there is no model to follow. You just kind of have to figure it out, put a hodgepodge plan together, a business plan. But one of the things everybody told me was do not take a case because you are scared you're not going to get cases. Mm-hmm. And I did it anyway.
It's true. The time sucks. The people.
Yeah.
The most time consuming cases are the ones that we waive our fee on.
Yep.
Yeah. And the ones that keep you up at night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
I think for me, one of the mistakes that I made was picking up that phone call and answering Yelp and advertising with them, you know? Spending money wisely and getting an office space and just like blowing it all on that kind of stuff when you should be planning out on how to use that money better.
Yeah, so what are the needs when you start your own firm? Let's talk nuts and bolts. What are the
needs? Well, let me say before, you went solo. I didn't go solo. I opened up the practice with him. I was not a lawyer, but one of the mistakes I think I see, because we have a lot of young attorneys that come and want to work with us and bring us cases. And I think one of the things that I see is people lose their own personality. They try to sell you on what they think they should be or what an attorney should be, as opposed to we like working with people that are their own unique personalities. You see our office, we have comic books everywhere and embrace who you are. Don't try to fit yourself into somebody else's definition of what they think a lawyer should be. Because if we are at Cala and somebody comes up and has a case for us, we like to work with people that are passionate and have a personality and are unique.
Sure.
Don't be a cookie cutter.
You have to enjoy.
Everybody does PI work. I mean, be your own person.
There's people we just don't work with because they're just so and it's negative not an issue, and dragging you down. It's like, I think if you eliminate that, right? It's a big thing.
Yeah.
Even if you think, oh, I can make a big fee, and then you look at this like, I have to deal with this. Yeah. No, thanks.
Well, we've all had those clients where it's like, ooh.
Like back to Naylene's point, don't take a case just because it's guaranteed. Well, what you thought was guaranteed money. I mean, take the cases that you believe in and you want to work on.
Exactly.
And it'll all come out in the wash at the end.
And be nice to everybody. Yeah.
That's one thing our dad always taught us.
Yeah.
Be nice and to everybody. going back to your point, like, I think, and that's a totally separate podcast, but as a woman, you feel it even more, right? That you have to like act a certain way or like be taken seriously.
We've had a lot with the female podcast, right, that exact same thing. You feel like you have to prove a little bit more, and it comes off as something else initially because it's over aggression. Yeah. But I mean,
but the problem is that's what our mentors are displaying. So the only real significant women attorneys who are established in their career, that's their persona. So that's all we really have to look at to emulate.
Yeah, it's a tough gig. But I think it goes back to what I think you guys were implying, which is authenticity.
Yeah, totally.
And everybody feels that your clients feel it. Hopefully a jury would feel it, you know?
And I think that's, the authenticity thing. Something like from all the previous guests you guys have had, you know, you guys had legends, Dordick, Dolan, Morrow, and Rally Today, but...
Someone did their homework.
I did. But one thing I always notice about all those guys, it's like they're so comfortable in their own skin. Mm-hmm. And whether they're presenting, whether you meet them out at a bar or whatever, they're just so comfortable in their own skin. And I think, you know, juries can see, you know, right through someone that's being fake. And I think that's, like you said, that's great advice for anyone going out on their own. Don't feel like you need to be someone else. Be yourself, you know, learn, get better. But, you know.
And it's hard because you go to those educational seminars, right? And you're watching Gary Dordick and you're watching, you know, Mike Alder, whoever, and you see this persona and you're like, oh, I can do that. But it doesn't look the same if I try to do what Gary Dordick does. You know, I don't have a cute accent, so it doesn't come off charming when I do it. But
The Gary Dordick Beverly Hills accent.
Beverly Hills Tucky. Yeah.
What was the question you were going to ask before I dove into that?
I don't remember.
The nuts and bolts, I think.
Oh, yeah, the nuts and bolts.
Oh, what you need to, like, start a practice. Right. I think you're going to ask.
Yeah, like the overhead cost, nuts and bolts needs.
Don't need
malpractice
much.
Insurance. Need.
Yeah. And if you put that off, it's going to cost you more in the long run, which is what I learned. But a lot of people do it.
Well, that's the beauty about going out on your own compared to, like, other businesses or, if you're going to manufacture where you need to spend money on product, like you need your brain and a computer basically to get started
and a phone number which you could do
right. And that's on the cheap. You can do
We do all the
VoIP voiceover. Yeah.
So I mean, hard lines. When we first started a practice that wasn't really there yet, we had to hard line this whole building. It was insane what we had to do to hard line all. Now you don't need to do that.
Nope.
I mean everything. How? I mean, what percent of your day are you actually in the office as opposed to like on the cloud working? How does that look for you?
Oh, the cloud's everything for me. Like, that was one of the best decisions I made early on was, like, instead of having everything saved to my hard drive, putting everything on the cloud, and I could work from home, I could work from my phone, I could be, you know, at a conference anywhere, and I can have access to all my case files. I mean, I'm a big believer in, like, technology, and being I have to be as efficient as possible, so I'm always looking for ways to, you know, save me time and money on certain things.
And I'm the opposite. So I have to have office hours and I have to go into a physical office. And I think the point of that, and this is what I took from all of those interviews, is know yourself, like know what type of person you are. And I tried working from home and it didn't work for me. I didn't feel good about being in my home space and having it be my workspace because I couldn't separate the two. I couldn't sleep at night. So I go into the office, I spend my day in the office, and I work from the office. If I'm not, you know, at depots or something else, I'm in the office. And so when I started, people were like, oh, you don't need an office space. I think a lot of people don't need an office space. Yeah. You can do virtual offices.
Or come a couple of days a week or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Co-working spaces now are really popular too.
Yeah, exactly. But for me, I need somewhere I can go every day.
Yeah. And then like for mine, like we have several offices, but I'm hardly ever physically in the office. Mm-hmm. Like I looked at people always use my offices. Like when I started, even when we were growing, I had my dad, Sevi Fisher, in my office and people were using my office all the time. And it's just changed where like most of my stuff, I'm more productive when I'm not in the office. When I'm there, I'm collaborating, which is great. We're spitballing things the whole time and going over things and answering questions, but I do all my emails at night or early. I have to get up at 5 a.m. to get a workout in to answer some emails before the kids get up. And then the weekends is when you get caught up. Brandon, we call him MIL Unabomber because he likes to go in his cave, put on his hood and his underwear and just grind for like 8 hours. Not talk to a human. No, no humanoids. No. His dogs are okay. No. His baby, because you can't talk yet. But
Yeah. If we have a case against like Dana Fox, I'll be in the office at 6 a.m. with a hoodie on, sweatpants, with my glasses on, and don't even look at the office. I'm the only officer of you've seen the Santa Ana office. I'm the only office that doesn't have a glass door. Like, knock on the door. Don't even come in. I had my birthday was the other day, and they sang happy birthday every time you come in, and the office manager couldn't come in and get me because I had the door shut.
Yeah.
And she knows, don't come knock on the door. I love it. Brandon's busy. So Travis had to come in and say, you got to come out here. They're scared of you.
Like, I'm working. Sorry, I'm working.
Yeah, when you get in that zone, man, it's hard to break.
Especially
that.
when you're writing, it's a different animal than.
And that's why I like stuff. These the chat rooms or text, because if I get a phone call, it breaks up the whole flow of what I'm trying. Like, you as lawyers, you're in the zone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's the new, like, I like chat rooms and.
Yeah.
So, Derek, when you enter a chat room, like, what do you say, like, 33M?
That's so bad, Bob. That's
so So we're running out of time. One last, just any piece of advice to anyone out there listening that are thinking about jumping ship, you know, they're working for a big defense firm or they just want to go out on their own, any piece of advice you would give them?
Trust yourself. I mean, if you've been thinking about it for a long time, you know what you're capable of, you know what you've accomplished in your life, trust yourself. You know, if you're all in and you really want it, I think the universe just has a weird way of making things work. It's not going to be easy, but I think you'll get it done.
That's one. Bob's mantra was always bet on yourself. The only one you can disappoint you is yourself.
I don't put money in the stock market. I put in this firm and bet on yourself. And a big thing for me, I think find friends and we have family.
Colleagues.
And mentors that are 100% positive on point with what you want to do because it thrives in that community. Mm-hmm. Like Gary Dordrick is my mentor, one of my best friends. He started out as a guy I met at a conference. Now we take vacations together. We have think tank stuff. We call each other with ideas. Like Gary Dordrick called me yesterday asking questions of my thoughts on things. Like, you know how powerful that is to have that? But I think that's very important to have that ability to bounce ideas off of somebody, to be able to ask any question and talk about stuff moving forward. Like to me, that's the golden age of what I think. If you're going to start your own firm, you need to be able to do that. Because if you're off on your island, you're off on your island. You have the listserv and that's it. Maybe some people that are geologists or want to be entrepreneurs at a WeWork space. Yeah. I'm a producer. Producer of what? Okay. Get out of here. I don't know what you're producing.
Anyone else? Any advice you would give to somebody?
Health insurance is expensive.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not dissuading.
So you're saying don't have employees is what you're saying?
Well, yeah, those are expensive too. But yeah, it costs a lot. And I think, you have to really want it and you have to be willing to. You can't be skittish, right? You have to be willing to bet big because you're going from assuming that you're, you know, getting a steady paycheck. You're going from a steady paycheck to living settlement to settlement if you're a contingency lawyer. And how long can you go without money? That's a big question. And are you okay doing that? Are you
six to 12 months is the answer. Be okay, 6 to 12 months.
Exactly. So, but I agree with Essay. Like, if it's something you want to do, don't wait to have more money, more capital. Don't wait to have more experience, especially if you have that mindset. You probably have enough experience and you probably have enough money.
Yeah, and that experience is easy to solve because you have friends and mentors. Yeah, you can get that experience.
That's true.
You know how many expert depots I went and watched and trials I went and watched to learn how to learn? You know, you also have video conferencing now where we have lawyers here feed in. I did one 2 days earlier where I was deposing an expert. We had, I think, 8 people on the line just to watch. Just to learn how to take the expert deposition. I mean, that's how technology is right now. You don't have to physically be there. You could just plug into the
Naylene,
system.
Any piece of advice you'd give somebody that watching that wants to go out on their own?
Yeah. So practically speaking, just keep your overhead low. You don't need a big swanky office. You don't need to drive a luxury car. You don't need to have the persona that you think you need to have in order to be a successful plaintiff's attorney. You just need to grind and do it and believe in yourself. But you don't need all of those extras.
Naylene's mic must be really good because her voice sounds so good on this, right? I feel like mine sounds terrible. She sounds so nice.
Thank you.
She's a nice, soothing voice.
I know.
Derek, any piece of advice?
I would say, like, along the lines of what Bob was saying, don't be afraid to ask for help. Yeah. I think that's the one thing we did. We reached out to Bob, your firm. We reached out to Gary's firm, Mike Arias. Anytime that we had a question we needed help on, that's what we did. Ask for help.
Awesome. Murad, do you have any advice?
Oh, yeah.
Work hard and just treat people good. Yeah, seriously, work hard and be a good person and
I was hoping for some comedic relief, but
and also practice karate.
He's a big fan of Cobra Kai season 2. Do you want to give him the free plug?
Yes, sign up now on YouTube. Enjoy a 10-day free trial.
Oh, but seriously, we do have a plug in partnership with Trial Guides. Our listeners, if you put in Justice Team 19 at checkout, you get a 15% discount. And thanks for listening. Thanks to all of our guests.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having
awesome
us.
Awesome panel. I very much appreciate you guys coming down on a Friday. And again, no sleep till justice.
Queen, it's her pleasure to be mean. Dynamite with her questioning. Guaranteed to make you cry. Ooh, impossible to pacify. Interrogating with a smile. Wanna try? She loves confrontation, she'll never let the issue rest. In conversation, she'll end your life with a sentence. Disputed liability is somewhat of her specialty. She will make you sorry you were ever born. That admission you denied is going to haunt you now at trial. She's got you by the balls, she's a depo queen. It's her pleasure to be mean. Dynamite with her questioning. Guaranteed to make you cry.